During World War II, certain Nazis shot down a group of Jews and buried them in a mass grave. Yet, a wounded 12-year-old boy was still alive. And he miraculously dug his way out of the shallow dirt and went around frantically in the neighborhood seeking shelter in homes. Now, the people must have heard what had happened. And when they saw the boy caked with dirt, many hurriedly shut the door in his face, afraid to be caught themselves. One woman was about to do the same when the boy, in exasperation, cried out, "Don't you recognize me? I'm the Jesus you Christians say you love." The lady broke into tears and received the boy into her home. She had made her choice for Christ. Now, in our gospel this morning, we see that humanity has come a long way from the establishment of marriage in Genesis. Our Lord, therefore, being God incarnate, clarifies marriage's purpose in order to renew it and to raise it up to that of a sacrament. Now, after explaining about the permanence and indissolubility of marriage, our Lord stresses another aspect of it, children. Most fittingly, children were being brought forward for him to bless, despite his disciples' protests. It seems that our Lord's teaching on marriage must have moved the people so much that they wanted to bring children forward for him to bless. As we know, right, children are so connected to marriage itself that to purposefully separate procreation from marriage would be to go against the design of God. Marriage was to be centered on the union of the spouses and the procreation and upbringing of children. Now, as I mentioned, today is Respect Life Sunday, a Sunday when we particularly focus on the dignity of the human person, from conception until natural death. I think it's fitting that today in our readings we hear about the sanctity of marriage and the fruit of marriage, children. I mean, after all, marriage and children are being constantly attacked in today's age. I also found this very fitting as we heard Christ say in the gospel, "Let the children come to me. Do not prevent them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Now, Catholics are pro-life. You cannot be pro-abortion and a faithful Catholic at the same time. The two don't go together. Now, there are many components to being pro-life, but the first must be that we recognize the fundamental right to life in the womb. From there, all other rights flow. Pope St. John Paul II said it beautifully when he said, "The right to health, to home, to work, to family, to culture is false and illusory if the right to life, the most basic and fundamental right and the condition of all other personal rights, is not defended with maximum determination." You know, today's age needs a new evangelization on the right to life. We have leaders in all parts of the world, especially in our nation, who claim to be Catholic yet support abortion. This is scandalous and unacceptable. The Church supports life in the womb until the tomb. We are the largest charitable organization in the world. The argument that we don't care about children after they are born is ridiculous and unfounded. There is always hope and help for a young mother in any situation. Life is always worth living. There is always hope for those women who have experienced abortion. God's mercy and love is inexhaustible. Now, as Catholics, it can be very easy, due to the strong current of the culture, to compromise, be silent, not defend life whenever abortion is brought up in conversation amongst our friends or family or coworkers, or to try to make it equal to issues that in reality, it is not equal to. Abortion is not equal to economic justice, health care, domestic and international peace, or immigration, no matter how important these are in their own right, a person's right to life comes first. I don't know if you've paid attention to statistics. According to the CDC, procured abortions rob about 625,000 souls of life each year in the United States. It's a tragedy when a life ends. The Catholic Church teaches that human life must be respected and protected absolutely from the moment of conception. Since the first century, the Church has affirmed the moral evil of every procured abortion. This teaching has not changed, and it will not change. Whether the belief that there is a human life from the moment of conception has only been confirmed by science. As soon as the ovum is fertilized, the resulting zygote contains all of the genetic information of a new individual organism. By the time the tiny child is 18 days from conception, its heart begins to beat, and the blood that baby's heart pumps is its own blood. At 4 weeks from conception, the child has eyes, ears, and a tongue. By the time a child is 7 weeks from conception, it has a skeleton, brain waves, taste buds. It's developing fingers and toes. It has a fully formed chest and abdomen. 99% of muscles are present. What is present in the mother's womb is alive, and it is a human being. As science has progressed, those who are actually honest among the pro-abortion crowd have had to come up with new arguments. Now, right now, there's a great hatred brewing against Catholics because of the Church's consistent moral voice. The Church stands strong in her teaching on the sanctity of human life. She has to. We can't compromise on truth. We can't compromise Christ. Christ's voice remains in his Church, no matter the era or the political situation. We must stand up for life in conversations with family members, with friends, coworkers, but also in the polls. Abortion is an intrinsic evil. It is never justifiable. We can never support it. At the end of the day, we will all have to answer to God for either our willingness or our unwillingness to be heralds of his gospel. As Congressman Henry Hyde once said, when the time comes, as it surely will, when we face that awesome moment, the final judgment, that is a moment of terrible loneliness. You have no advocates. You are there alone standing before God. And a terror will rip your soul like nothing you can imagine. But, he said, I really think that those in the pro-life movement will not be alone. I think there will be a chorus of voices that have never been heard in this world, but are heard beautifully and clearly in the next world. And they will plead for everyone who has been in this movement. They will say to God, spare him, because he loved us. We must never be afraid to stand up for what is right. But we must always do it with charity and mercy. As Mother Teresa once said, any country that accepts abortion is not teaching its people to love, but to use any violence to get what it wants. What is taking place in America, she said, is a war against the child. And if we accept that a mother can kill her own child, how can we tell other people not to kill one another? It makes perfect sense to me why we have so much violence in our country today. We've been taught that life is not actually valuable at every moment, no matter what. And now the abortion mentality that we have has led to the other extreme in our country, which is euthanasia, or mercy killing, or physician-assisted suicide. The rhetoric in this case is that it is not good to have to suffer. So, we will just put them out of their misery. We will kill them. On our ballot here in West Virginia this year is an amendment regarding physician-assisted suicide, Amendment 1. This amendment can protect our state from allowing physician-assisted suicide. Voting for this amendment will protect us from ever allowing the direct killing of our elderly and infirmed. As Catholics, we are called to uphold the gospel of life, even if our family, friends, or coworkers do not. We're called to help mothers and fathers in need when they come to us. There's so much help available. We are called to be beacons of mercy. We are called to help support our elderly and those who are suffering. We are called to stand up for life through our votes. We need to be beacons of Christ's hope. This world needs hope. Now, we've had many examples of what it means to stand up for the truth. Mother Teresa, an extraordinary champion for the poor, was not afraid to stand up for truth. She knew who she was. She knew who she represented. And she knew what our Lord was always worth fighting for. The young boy in the story I told at the beginning had it right when he said, "I'm the Jesus you Christians say you love." On this Respect Life Sunday, we must be reminded that we must speak out, pray, and vote like as if Christ was saying that to us. As St. Catherine of Siena once said, "If you be who God meant you to be, you will set the world on fire."